Let us summarize again. We are giving a seminar called The Power of Blessings, and we are now very interested and motivated to find out how we can obtain blessings. We said that just like water always flies from higher, you can see it also there, to the lower dimension, and the blessings fly or flow from a superior person to a person who comes in a humble state of mind to obtain the blessings. You can see this here in the nature. How can we actually come into a humble position in life? How do we practice humility? What do you feel would be necessary? Please raise your hands and tell me your sacred thoughts in this connection. Yes. How do you actually practice humility? How can you become humble? What steps would be necessary? Is it maybe you want to go back into a time where you were humble, where you felt very humble? I'm sorry? Cultivation of humility. How do you do this? What do you practically do? Think, speak, eat, sleep. Yes, it seems to be very abstract still, but you are on the right track. We are opening this discussion. Our devotee has said your good name? Ramapriya. Wow. Has said if he can take guidance from our spiritual master, he can actually tell us how to become humble. That is what you said. How do we become humble? Rupa Raghunath. Rupa Sanatana, even better. By serving despite reluctance, says Rupa Sanatana.
I understand our fallen condition and feeling.
By understanding our fallen condition and feeling it also. And then and approach then those who we honor and our spiritual master.
And today, Namakana Maharajan Bhaga Kamalesha said that the beginning of humility is to be honest.
Kadambakana Maharaj in the Bhagavatam class said the beginning of humility is to be honest.
He said one thing even more. He said the beginning of everything is admitting that I'm rascal.
He even said more, that the beginning of everything is I am a rascal. This seems to be a little practical, to be honest and even admitting something. It seems to be a practical thing. Our devotee has gathered strength for his second very concrete
recognizing our position as that we are very small.
Recognizing our position that we are very small and insignificant. How do you do this? Do you write this down? I'm very small and I'm insignificant? Or do you make a new age exercise? You know, exercise, you go like this. I am the lowest of the low. And I do not have any right to judge anyone. What?
Referring to scriptures, shastras.
I'm
recognizing who we are, where we are now.
We go to the scriptures and recognize who we are, where we are now. Namamrita.
Performing one's duty even though it may be imperfect.
Huh? Yes, that's an interesting attitude, that I'm just doing it even though it may be imperfect. Mm-hmm. Peter.
To find good qualities in others.
To practice to find good qualities in others. Chanakya Pandit, Tattva Ved Prabhu, I'm sorry.
Acting for Krishna or Krishna's benefit, not for myself or my own benefit.
Acting for Krishna's and Krishna's benefit, not acting for my own benefit. How do we practice to become humble? Very good answers. I want to say the practice must be something very practical. Hare Krishna. And many of what you have said are many answers fall into this category. Chanakya Pandit, who was an advisor to a political man, a king, was known for his practical advice. He came to become someone. He became recognized in a difficult political situation. There was a gang of a dynasty. The dynasty started with M. I forgot exactly the name. Who had taken control of the throne. They had become very, very powerful. And as a result, they had thrown out the righteous ruler. So the ruler, Chandragupta was his name, Maharaj Chandragupta, came to desire to overthrow the rascal regime and rise back to power again. And he knew he could only do this by the guidance and the blessings of a Brahmana. So he went actually to to search for a Brahmana, and he stumbled upon a hut where Chanakya Pandit lived in, and Chanakya Pandit would advise him every day for an hour or 2 hours in between, and he would then apply the instructions of Chanakya Pandit, and after a short while he had actually risen back to power. The rascal regime had lost in the struggle for power, because this Chandragupta was led by the Brahminical guidance of Chanakya Pandit. Now Chanakya Pandit has spoken in shlokas. His wisdom is there available in the Chanakya slokas, and Prabhupada has often quoted some of these guidance or wisdom verses. There's a very nice book written by His Holiness Satsvarup Maharaj about this. I remember the color is gray, and it says maybe something like Chanakya Shlokas or something like this. It's interesting. It's an interesting literature. It really gives you interesting guidance in life. Now Chanakya Pandit has given one practical advice how to cultivate humility. He said humility is the result of sense control. At first we will be startled to hear, what, I have to control my senses to become humble? How are the two related? Controlling the senses is maybe related to weight loss. If I control my senses a little, I won't be so heavy in weight. But how is becoming humble related to... how is sense control related to humility? And the answer is very, very wonderful. Sense control loosens the identification with the body. It loosens the false ego, in other words. I have once fasted for 4 weeks, and after it, I was very, very humble. I remember this. Very good, I mean, relatively good Krishna conscious prerequisites. Another, this was Chanakya Pandit. Another advice is that service to superiors and a respectful attitude towards superiors also makes you humble. When you practice this, respect of other superior Vaishnavas in your life, you will actually be able to see how a natural sense of humility enters into your heart. You can practice something like respect by seeing respectable qualities in the person whom you respect. And by this simple exercise of trying to see the respectable qualities under all circumstances, you will actually develop profound humility in your lives. It works in an almost mystical way. Another advice to bring you into the position of humility is Vaishnava Sangha. I think we all have noted, when we are in the association of devotees, there will be situations where we become humbled. We see either that they have better qualities, we see that they have better positions, we see how they have more knowledge, and they will correct us in some ways. It is unavoidable. It will happen. In some ways, we will become humble in the Vaishnava association. Yesterday, I developed this very much. Yesterday, I talked to a very nice devotee, and somehow we talked about how one can fall asleep very fast. Because sometimes when we do so much service, we, after a day of service, we need to really rest. And when our mind is still so active and then it takes sometimes 1 hour or 1.5 hours, especially when you're getting old, like Tattvavid and myself, and you get vata in your body. Old age means more vata comes. Then you just can't sleep in the night. You are exhausted so much that you could die, but you can't sleep. So I told the devotee might little yoga tips to become humble. And the devotee then listened very politely and kindly, and then he said, well, my mother told me that if you want to calm the mind, you should chant Hare Krishna. So in your mind, before falling asleep, you can just chant Hare Krishna. Glorify Krishna, think of Krishna, and then the dreams are very sweet. So I must admit, at that moment I became so humbled. Here I am, the great, not the great, the minimal, the insignificant Sachinandan, but who is supposed to be a Swami, an educator, and I give some meaningless empty yoga technique to calm the mind. This is, have I not understood anything after all these years? And I felt, this mother of the devotee is my sacred guru. I felt like this in my heart. I was humbled, in other words. And this is a very good, this happens when you're in Vaishnava association. You do become humbled. Those who are of black hearts, Krishna, They want to leave the association of the Vaishnavas. They feel it's intolerable. I can't tolerate this constant situation of becoming corrected by their superior example. We feel it's a burden. Krishna. There's a very nice song by in the Kalyana Kalpataru, where the devotee prays for humility. Kripa karo Vaishnav Thakur sambandha janiya bhajite bhajite abhimana ho dura amito vaishnavai budi hoile amanina hoibe o ami pratishtha shashi hridaya dushibi hoibe niraye agami. O Vaishnav Thakur, please give me your mercy. And then, what is the mercy? Knowledge of my relationship with Bhagavan and the ability to do bhajan, sending my false ego far away. You see, the Vaishnava Thakur is requested, please send my false ego far away. If I think I am a Vaishnav, then I will never become humble. My heart will become contaminated with the hope of receiving honor from others, and I will surely go to hell. Give me the mercy that I can renounce the false conception of being guru and can be your servant. Let me accept without duplicity your remnants and your foot bath water. By thinking that I am superior, that is the Guru Abhiman, and giving my remnants to others, here eat what I have left on my plate, I will be burdened with the weight of false pride. Let me always identify as your disciple and not accept worship or praise from others. In this way I can renounce the desire for honor for myself and can offer respect to others. Sincerely weeping at your lotus feet and rolling on the ground, I pray that you will give me the ability to perform kirtan purely. Isn't it a wonderful prayer? O Vaishnava Thakur, make me humble, in other words. That's the nucleus, the message of the prayer to Vaishnava. Oh, make me humble. Take my false ego away. I want to relate to you a little pastime with Srila Prabhupada. It was in New York, in Central Park, where Prabhupada totally surprised his devotees. He went in the winter on a morning walk, and whenever he saw an ice-covered puddle of water, he would make a slight detour from his path, take his cane and break the ice. In this way he would break many puddles of water. As children in North Germany, we also did this. This was favorite pastime. I still sometimes do it when I walk. And it's a very nice adventure to break the ice. So the devotees thought, oh, Prabhupada is a little elderly, he's doing this, what is the meaning? But they did not want to ask him, thinking it might be disrespectful. So they went to Srila Prabhupada, so they phoned the Chicago temple, that was the last station where Prabhupada was, and said, did Prabhupada do something unusual during the morning walk? No. Prabhu, why are you asking? No, just think, did he? Then the Chicago temple president said to the New York inquirer, I don't want to be disrespectful, but Prabhupada did something I did not understand. He was walking, doing his morning walk, and when he did his morning walk, he made a little detour from this path, went to the frozen puddles of water and cracked them with his cane. Is it recording so, Ishan, or should the microphone be closer? This is good, yeah. So, Prabhupada had cracked the ice not only in New York, but also in Chicago. So the devotee thought, I will ask Prabhupada why he did this. So he went, Prabhupada, I'm very inquisitive to know. Yes, what is that? I'm very inquisitive to know. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but I'm very inquisitive to know. Why did you break the puddles of ice? Prabhupada said, it is my duty. What? It's a duty, I mean, the International Society for Icebreakers? It's a duty? Why is it the duty? Then Prabhupada explained. See, he said, the original condition of the living entity's heart is that he has love of Godhead in the heart. But when the living entity comes into the material atmosphere, that heart is covered with ice, the ice of false ego and lust. You must be knowing, and even in Bhakti Vedanta College, this sometimes happens. yes, we do become infected by the ego, and yes, we do become infected. Our love, which is meant for Krishna, becomes frozen and directed to some other cause. Prabhupada said, it's my duty to break the ice of ego. Hare Krishna! It's my duty, the duty of this world to master. Be careful when you want to accept a spiritual master. He might crack the ice on your heart. He might crack the ego and you will not like it. Hare Krishna. This might happen. You might think, I'm so great, but he will address you and say, you are so small. And this is very painful because it's something else than we originally thought about ourselves. This might happen. So Prabhupada said, this is my duty. How do you like this? Not much. Remembering the Guru makes us always very, very humble. Peter, can I have your pen just for 1 second only? I will return it in good writing condition. If you want to become humble, this meditating about the spiritual master is immediately working on your heart and making you humble. In this song, it is said, we want to get a humble state of mind from the Vaishnava. Now, if you start to learn this little technique, meditating about Srila Prabhupada, you will immediately become humble. Why? How does this work? This works by the law of contrast. Prabhupada is so exalted, and if you stand in his presence, even if you mentally stand in his presence, you will see yourself as very small. See, if I'm standing next to the small Namamrita, who could be my daughter, she will go up till here, maybe a little bit more up till here, we don't need to, and I will think I'm very great in size. Look at this small
little child, and she only goes up till here, you know, and I will think I'm a very high person. But if I stand before a mountain, I will think, very small. Isn't it? We think like this. That's why walking through the Himalayas is therapeutic and curing ego, you know. So if you are thinking of and remembering the divine qualities of the saints, of the sadhus, Kiyo, you will become very humble. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing in this book, Bhakti Alokya, that we should always see the example of highly exalted sadhus. These are Puranic sadhus, means very old sadhus, modern sadhus. Modern sadhus are Haridas Thakur, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, and the old ones are Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, who else? Prahlad Maharaj is very, Dhruva, Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read their example. It's very, very nice on your spiritual path if you actually read the lives of the great Vaishnava Acharyas and such things. If you read in Prabhupada's biography, also the very first class book has now come out in three parts. Memories of Srila Prabhupada. It's very nice by Siddhanta Prabhu. Have you seen it? Yeah, it's a very nice, isn't it? Some very nice, good information. He has done a very nice editing work. So on.
Yeah, just kidding. I'm going to do some service.
We will feel separation from you for any minute, every minute. But yes, please do your service. There is a very nice excerpt from the writings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Again, I must be very honest with you. I do not really know from where it is. I can't give you the reference, but it is. I have read it many times. You can be rest assured it's correct. It's bona fide. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, "If I do not remember the lotus feet of Sri Guru at the beginning of every new year, every new month, every new day, every new moment, then I'm sure to fall into new inconveniences. If I do not remember his lotus feet, then the desire will come to dress myself in the garb of a guru. I will become liable to the bad desire to seek to become worshipped by other people as guru. It is this which constitutes addiction to other things than the truth." Do you remember from your daily practice this point of remembering the guru? It is inbuilt in your daily sadhana. Two times a day you do this. Sangsarada vanadalida loka tranaya karunaganaganatam. And again, Sri Guru Charana Padma. This is a very nicely and consciously built into your practice. Even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, three santyams. A minimum of three times a day we should remember our spiritual master. Morning, noon, and evening time. How do we do this? How is this built into the practice? Aing Gurave Namaha. This is from the Gayatri Mantras. You know, I should not say it loud, but and there is another long mantra. This is for the Bija mantra, but there's a long Gayatri mantra where you really meditate three times a day on the Guru.
Who of you is Brahminically initiated? Please raise your hand. Rupa Sanatan. Our Matajis are fresh Matajis? Vishaka, no? Not yet. So, three times a day, three santyam, we are remembering the spirit of Master. This is very good for us. It will put us into a mood where we can actually practice humility. We remember the spirit of Master. Unless we do it like most of the Hare Krishna devotees, that is, they don't concentrate their mind on their practice. But if we concentrate our mind on the practice, there will be a very good effect in this. Of course, Hare Krishna, it is said that a devotee who wishes to hear and learn from a guru must have three qualifications, Shravana Adhikar, three qualifications for hearing from the guru. What could this be? Jnanam jnanina stadvadashina. You know everything. What does paripatena means? Means inquiring in a... No. This means submission. Yes, submission. Would be nice to know how the Sanskrit, what it says. Submission, pariprashnena means to ask questions, and third is sevaya, to render service. This is how you can learn from a bona fide spiritual master. You must bring submission with you. You must inquire with a humble state of mind, and you must render some service. This is how you should develop your relationship with the spiritual master. We live so much in a time of search, of looking for orientation, of going deeper into our lives and practices. We also want to deepen our relationship with the spiritual master. This is how to do it. Submission, asking philosophical questions relating to our advancement, and rendering service. That will make our relationship very alive and very strong and very dobro. Dobro means good. Do you have any questions regarding this, my dear devotees? Namamrita, please speak sufficiently loud. Yes.
I'm trying to understand humility, because I also heard that true humility means acting according to where you're at.
Acting according to
where you're at, like knowing
where you are at. Okay.
Your limitations and your desires. And then how do you apply the definition from Chanaka Pandit about
sense control? Yeah. See, Namamrita has a very nice question about humility. She tries to understand it deeper, and she heard humility also can mean to understand it, accept where you are at, and acting from that level, not trying, in other words, to be someone you are not. How to bring this together with the explanation of Chanakya Pandit. This is Namamrita's question. Chanakya Pandit said it means sense, or we
we can practice or attain humility by sense control. But see, in spiritual philosophy or spiritual life, when you want to understand a given subject matter, you have to come from different perspectives. And the different perspectives will tell you always more about the subject at hand. So most, if you want to understand how Kyo looks, we have to look from the front, that's one perspective, from the side, and from the back also. You know, minimum three perspectives are useful to understand an object or the shape of something or someone. So, yes, true humility has a lot to do with honesty. With honesty. So if you approach humility from a human level, you would have to say it has to do with honesty. The Chinese say humility is a vision of reality. You have to be honest enough to see the reality. It's interesting. This is Confu, or what is it? Not Confucius, or what was his name?
Confucius,
yes. Sanatana Goswami offers another humility definition. He says, humility makes a qualified person, highly qualified person, even think that he is not qualified. And he offers yet another definition where he says, humility and love are synonymous. They go together, hand in hand. So you can see these different definitions are there. It's so relieving when we can become humble and understand where we are at. I realized, we will say, I'm not such a great scholar. I'm just learning to be, and so on. It's relieving. Mm-hmm. Another question is there by Sudevi.
Will I have a question for yesterday's session?
Yes, please.
About judging or assessing different levels of devotees.
Mm-hmm.
On Nectar of Instruction, we hear that there's, like, we have to treat different devotees according to, like, Nishtha Madhyam and Uttama devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering how to reconcile these two statements. Is that also from different perspectives, seen on a social perspective and then a logical perspective?
We were hearing yesterday we should not judge Vaishnavas because it's difficult to understand them. At the same time, we heard a Nectar of Instruction that we have to assess the Vaishnavas according to their different levels of qualification as Kanishtha, Madhyam and Uttama Adhikari. I believe when we say we should not judge, maybe we should say more completely, we should not be judgmental. It's important to know where the Vaishnava is, so that you do know how to act appropriately in relationship to him. But you should not be judgmental in the sense of bringing any critic in there. And so on. You should try to help. I do remember something which I read a little while ago in the Prabhupada Memories series. There was one devotee who had a habit to take still some intoxicant, some drugs. Maybe he was smoking some marijuana or something. It was like that. Prabhupada heard about it, and he said to Giriraj Swami,
Giriyaj, at that time, Prabhupada would say Giriyaj to him. Giriraj, tell him if he doesn't smoke, if he doesn't stop smoking, I will reject him. So Giriraj Swami very strongly told him, this is what Prabhupada said, you will be rejected if you don't throw away your smoking habit. Then Giriraj came back and said to the devotee, would you actually reject him? Giriraj came back to Prabhupada, would you ever reject him? Prabhupada said, of course not. At another time he said something about this to Tama Krishna Maharaj. Tama Krishna Maharaj wanted to throw someone out of the ashram who had an impossible behavior. And Prabhupada heard about it and called him and said, don't do this. You do not know the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It seems Lord Nityananda is willing and ready to forgive everyone for everything. You do not know the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So this is something to be considered. Of course we may know. Please come. Yes. Come. Yes, he wants to make a photo. The Belgistic tourist. Yes, he needs also Vaishnav Sangha. Yes. Welcome. Yes. Yeah. Please, freely photograph. Yes. Yes.
I had a question regarding true humility and self-pityness. You know, stage when you are just lamenting. I heard something and I know something, but I would like to say a little bit more.
Yeah. Our Dina Dayal asked a question about about humility and self-pity. How are they related to each other?
Okay.
Bitteschön. Gern geschehen. Sind sie gut geworden, die Fotos?
Ja,
gute Qualität, good.
Ja.
Prima, ja. Once I heard a very nice definition and answer. Humility does not mean to think less of yourself. Humility means to think of yourself less. Hare Krishna. You understand? I usually also don't catch these things so quick. Should I say it again?
Mm-hmm.
Humility does not mean to think less of yourself. Humility means to think of yourself less. Sounds almost the same, but it's not. You can understand my English? Is it making sense? The self-pity person is so much engaged in his ego. He's actually an egomaniac. He thinks from morning, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not enough, I'm... Think of something else, Dina Dayalji, than an insignificant, or I'm sorry, a very significant GBC assistant. I'm joking. Please excuse me. A little joke must be. Shalom say. A little joke must be there. Yeah.
to think of yourself less. Don't think so much about yourself. Think of Krishna Namamrita. It's better. There's more enlightenment for you. Reuben, huh? Think of Krishna. Why think so much about Reuben and Reuben this, Reuben that? What do you think, Isa? It's a very good point. It's a very good point. We should try to put Krishna into our thinking. And then that conditioned personality, which is giving us so much pain sometimes, it will become purified. But if you analyze and analyze and analyze the bad qualities which you have, you will still keep the bad qualities because that's what you have in your mind. And I have a nice quotation here for you. The effects that follow the constant and intense concentration upon evil are always disastrous. Those who crusade not for God in themselves but against the demons in others never succeed in making the world better. No man can concentrate his attention on evil or even the idea of evil and remain unaffected by evil. To be more against the demon than for godliness is exceedingly dangerous. Every crusader is apt to go mad. He is haunted by the wickedness that he attributes to his enemies. It becomes sort of a part of him. I have seen this in visiting German communities of alternative people. The more they are violently against something, they develop these bad qualities. Also, if you don't mind to tell something, sometimes there is this very much this woman's liberation mood, no? We can understand that the women feel frustrated to be exploited by the grossness of the men. I think that is understandable, and it's important. Something needs to be done. But I've often seen those who take preaching, those who take this so serious, you know, who think all the time how bad the men are. Oh, they're so bad. They're so unintelligent, so gross, so exploitative. They are really afraid of the subtlety of the women. That's why they want to dominate her from morning till evening. And they are so lusty and so dependent, blah, 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 you know. And then they also get such hate in the heart. I've seen this so often. Mm-hmm. Men who are thinking bad things about the opposite sex, they also become bad because they always think of bad things. So also if you analyze yourself with most modern tools of psychoanalysis, oh, I'm so bad and this is how I was harmed in my childhood by my dominant father, and now I'm also so dominant all the time. I've just inherited in a trauma transfer the trauma of my parents and so on. It's all, yes. But it will not bring you any spirituality. It will not bring you any spiritual advancement. Something of that may be necessary to understand how our conditioned side ticks. But we must quickly come to the bright beach of Krishna consciousness in our thought and not roam around in the dark forests of the conditioned mentality. What do you think, Dina Dayaji? Is it? I think. Yes. Gayatri. No, I'm sorry. Gopeshwari, please speak. This will be the last question for this morning session, and it will be a good question. I know it.
In the first day, you were speaking about the
this princess who had all the masks and
yeah.
removing these masks. And then the sadhu warned her she should not become proud. Now she has removed some masks and become a little lighter in herself.
Mm-hmm.
And now mm-hmm. don't make the mistake to become proud. And I was thinking about this and thinking, so often I experience in myself, sometimes I experience a little bit of humility and it's such a relief to the heart, but then so easily to become proud, oh, I'm humble. And then bang, it's gone, so much has stopped this happening.
Wow, just stop this happening, yeah? In the literature of the world, there is one writer called E.T.R. Hoffman, and he writes about the devil a lot. Mm. And there was this one scene. The main character is walking under an arched walkway. It's with beautiful rose flowers, you know, this little very nice smelling rose flowers, and he's walking there, and as he walks, from somewhere the devil jumps on his back and gives him some intoxicating beverage, tells him go to this lady and do something unbecoming, and he says, no, I don't want this. I want to go to this nice rose garden. I want to act properly, and so on and so forth. And the devil understands, it's really like, you know, with horns and black and hoofs and everything. I can't get him. So he jumps down, takes on a different disguise, and comes in a new way. So unfortunately, so I read this when I was a child. I don't even know the detail. It was I was very impressed because, yes, we do know that sometimes these materialistic tendencies just take different garbs and come. And it takes, Prabhupada writes about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita when he talks about the weeds which stifle the growth of bhakti. He says it takes a serious devotee to distinguish, you know, sometimes in the garb of the good, the worstest things are committed, the worstest crime, the garb of the good. So Kopeshwari, if you become serious about your actual goal, what do I actually want, then you will recognize what keeps you apart from your goal, in no matter what disguises this takes, but only with an eye who has the balm of seriousness will you see that. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Now, when we meet again at 3:30, am I correct? Yes, 3:30. We will come, actually, I have to admit to you, we will come to the highlight of the seminar. Practice humility. Don't worry, it is very responsible presentation. And then we will go and name a few persons, items from which we can collect blessings. So please make sure you are there at 3:30 in time. We enter 12 minutes earlier today so that we can take these 12 minutes for a light rest after we have eaten prasadam. This is my request. Try the left side. Just purposefully lie on your left side and you will see